God, we praise you. Thank you. What a great day. What an amazing, incredible, wonderful God-made day this is. This is the day. This is the day. The only time you need is now. The only time you need is now. You know, the scriptures convey to us, and you can take your seats this morning, in various sundry different ways, conveys to us the presence of the Lord. I'm with you always. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I want to say this. Jesus wants to come quickly. He said it. He said, I want to come quickly. He wants to come quickly. And yet he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm with you always. Even unto the end of the world, to the end of the age. I'm with you to the end of all things. And then he says, I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I am all time. He is all time. And Jesus is Lord. How many times have we said that? Jesus is Lord. Do you believe that? Do you believe Jesus is Lord? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. But what is he Lord of? What is he Lord of? In your life, what is he Lord of? Because if he is Lord, that means his word is the command to whatever he is Lord over. So what is he Lord over? What is he Lord of? Is he Lord over your salvation? Then you're secure in your salvation. Is he Lord over your family? Is he Lord over your business? Or is your business exempt? You know, what is he Lord over in your life? There was a time that two blind men came to Jesus. He had been ministering as he always did. And as he entered the house, the word says that two blind men came to him and they said, they cried out, the word says, and they pursued him. And they had been calling him for a while. We don't know how long, but they've been calling him, saying, heal me, heal me. And Jesus said, he asked a question. He said, do you believe that I am able to do this? Now, Jesus had already been doing all kinds of wonders and healing people and incredible things. And the people, a lot of people believed. You know, there were a number of people that acknowledged Jesus as the coming Messiah before Peter ever said, you are Lord. His brother said, hey, come see, this is the one we've been waiting for. So there's something so powerful about what you believe. And so these blind men came to Jesus and he said, do you believe I am able to do this? To do what? To heal you. Do you believe? They said, yes, yes. And the word says he laid his hands on him and then he said, according to your faith, be it done to you. I know we've heard this a lot, but listen. According to your faith. First, Jesus asks a question. You know, we wait for God to answer, but the reality of so much of the appearing of Christ, the revealing of Christ, the kingdom to come, the will of the Father to be done, so much of that really isn't a question to be posed to the Lord. Jesus didn't pose questions to the Father, but he posed questions to the people. And what he inquired about, his inquiry was, do you believe? Who do you say that I am? What do you have me to do? He posed these questions because your faith is the perspective of your reality, your faith. Everyone is living according to their faith. Faith is the perspective. Faith creates a perspective, how we view things, how we perceive things, what things are to us and what realities they take on. What are these things? So Jesus prays for them. He says, according to your faith, be it unto you. And they're healed and they go on their way. He says, don't tell anybody. He went and told everybody. Interesting enough that Jesus inquired. Now let's talk about a couple of things. Is there anything different about this generation than there were generations before? We're still people. We still have the same word. There's a lot of things that have been revealed, a lot of treasure troves, treasure finds. They've unearthed a lot of artifacts that say this is dated at this time, and this is proof of this, and this is proof of that. So a lot of those things have happened archaeologically, that we found things that identify specific passages in the Word, the existence of certain things and the application of certain things and scriptures and different items. And it's amazing what we have found, but there's only one thing that proves beyond a doubt that Jesus is Lord, and that's your faith in Him as such. It really is. He did all kinds of miracles, and all kinds, I mean, He healed the deaf, the dumb, the blind, leprosy, raised the dead. I mean, we don't even know what all He did, because the Word says it isn't recorded everything that He did. The book would have, it would be huge. And carrying your Bible would be like, you know, you'd need a cart to carry it in. It's huge. So He did a lot of things. We don't know everything that He did. But the Scriptures tell us He is Lord. And the question is what is your perception of that? What is your perception of He is Lord? Lord, Lord over how much of your life, would you say? Okay, like 50% or 75? How many are 75ers? Let's try 90. 90%ers? 95%ers? How about 99.1? What is the percentage of your perception, your perspective of Jesus is Lord? Lord over how much? How much? Did the Lord say He's Lord over most? He's Lord over some? He's Lord over what? All. He is Lord over all. And let's back up and repeat something that I've said a few times here. So Jesus either doesn't know what's going on in your life, or He doesn't care, or He's Lord over it all. See, this is a fundamental, basic foundation that we need. It keeps the line straight. It just keeps us on track. Scriptures refer to it like, set your eyes like a flint, or stand firm in the Lord. You know, stand firm in the Word of God. Stand firm in the faith. So it's important to stand firm, but where do we stand? And when do we stand? Where do we stand? Well, right here, right now is the best place to be, because it's where you are. And it is the perspective of your faith, or it is your faith creating the perspective that tells you where you stand. Where do I stand? You have people coming after you, perhaps. Perhaps you're being sued. Perhaps you're being spoken ill of. Perhaps someone is trying to take something from you. Perhaps you away. Perhaps a lot of things. But what is the foundation? Because if you don't have a straight line to go from, then you end up off track at some point along the journey. And the church has done that many, many times. The church appears oftentimes to have lost its influence and its power. And so what do we need to know? What do we need to do in order to finish this thing? What do we need to do? And so a foundation for me is John 19:30 on the cross. Jesus said, everything that you needed to be clean, to be the righteousness of God, to be a vessel, a person, an individual, to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, everything that you need to have your sins forgiven and removed, everything you need to have a clear conscience, free of sin and death and hell, and the grave. Everything that is necessary to free you from the powers of darkness and the devil and death, eternal death. Everything you need, everything that was required, everything that needed to be complete and accomplished was accomplished when Jesus said, it is finished. It is finished. When He said, it is finished, it was finished. You know why? Because he is Lord. What is he Lord of? The Word of God. And his name is called the Word of God. The Word of God. Who is Jesus? The Word of God. What is the Word of God? Yes. Uh-huh. And amen. That's what it is. What he says is the way it is. That's what it is. So, God's thoughts, his ideas, are present realities. Everyone, everyone, every thought of God, every idea of God, every word of God is a present reality. So he said things like, Jesus said, listen, I'm going in this form, but I'm not going to leave you. Is that what he said? A yes or a no? Yes. That's what he said. Is that what he meant? Yes. A yes or a no? So there you are. You're not sure, are you? There we have it. That's why you have a problem. Get it right. I'm finished. Is it a yes or amen? Is he with you or is he not? Have you ever had someone standing beside you or talking to you and you didn't know they were there and you didn't hear a word they said? Huh? We're in Home Depot the other day. We've got some projects going on and we're in Home Depot. There's a lady on a ladder. I need a tool out of a locked case. I walk up to the lady behind her, cautiously, quietly, and say, excuse me, like that. Excuse me. She doesn't hear me. Step up just a little closer, and I say, excuse me. And she goes, oh, you scared me so bad. I said, I'm so sorry. I called your name twice, and I did it quietly. I have a wife and daughters. I get it. I understand. I didn't mean to startle you. I was there. I called out her name, but her mind was somewhere. My voice carried from where I was to where she was. She heard me, but she didn't perceive me. Word of God's the same thing. Jesus cannot be any more with us than he is. He's never going to be more God. He's never going to be more Lord because he's all Lord and he's all God and he's all present. And that's what he conveyed to us. And he's all righteous and holy and true. But your perception of his reality is dependent upon your faith in him with you. That's what it is. And that's a foundation. That's a cornerstone, a straight cut cornerstone. That's a cornerstone. It's a cornerstone. They were laying some flooring in my home the other day, and one of the stones that had been laid, one of the tiles that had been laid, was slightly off, just a little bit. When they laid this perfectly straight floor across it, it looked like it was so crooked. It was so off. But when you're laying it, it wouldn't seem that off. But when a line begins crooked at one end, it's not very far down the road. It's very crooked. It's very off. And if you try to build on it out the way, when it started off crooked, when you are out a distance, whatever you try to build from that line will only increase in how out of order, out of balance, out of line, incorrect it is. Do you understand? That's pretty simple. When religion teaches you that Jesus is Lord but denies the power and the finished work of the cross, we're going to have some problems. We're going to end up with some misinterpretations. The body is going to become weak. See, the body is not fighting evil, powerful spirits. There is no such thing. There is no such thing as an evil, powerful spirit. I use the anthill as an analogy again. The ants are powerful in their kingdom. They're strong in their kingdom, but not in our kingdom. So is the devil. So are evil spirits. They may be powerful in their kingdom, but not in our kingdom, because they are dark and we are what? Light. And how much influence does darkness have on light? Huh? It's a simple question. Jesus said, I am the of the Okay, and then he said, and now you are the of the. Okay, we're good. We're on track. Straight line. This is going to end up a really nice home today. This temple is going to be built perfectly because we're going to stay online. We're going to keep it simple, keep it comprehensible, because we need power back in the house of God. We are supposed to be the government of the nations. We are supposed to be the leaders and walking in the power. We are supposed to bring Jesus' appearance to light. Scripture, Christ where? Where is Christ? Where does the word tell us Christ is? Christ in? Hope of glory. Oh, hope for glory. Hope for glory. Hope for. Oh, God, bring glory. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. God, bring glory. Let your glory come. Let your. Christ, the of. So, where is he? Okay. One time the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, okay, big shot, tough guy, all knowing, Lord, show us the kingdom of God. Fear he, show us the kingdom. Jesus said, oh, you don't understand. It's not done like that. Kingdom of God is spiritual. It's a spiritual reality. And it doesn't come with observation. Did he say that? Yes. He meant it, right? I'm always with you. Kingdom of God comes not with observation. But you have a whole body of people keep looking up, waiting, doing exactly what the angels of the Lord told the guys that were standing there when he went up not to do. Don't stand here, gaze. Go what? Go do what I've called you to do. So what should we be doing? What he's called us to do. Christ is going to appear. He is going to be revealed, the word says, in his kingdom. And in his, where is his glory? Come on. Don't let religion tear you down. Come on. Rise up. Where is his glory? How is he going to be revealed according to Scripture? In his glory. And in his kingdom. Where is his glory? Where is his kingdom? Look how far we've come. You're doing so well. That's so good. Our neons are turning into probotons. Baby lambs are turning into sheep. Powerful sheep. Representing the authority of God. Come before him as lambs. Why a lamb? It didn't have time to get sick or get broken or get dirty. And what do? We nurture it. What does Christ do with us? He nurtures us as little lambs. If you love me, demonstrate your love, Peter, to me by taking care of the babies and then bringing them, nurturing them into maturity. That's what the body should be about, nurturing us into maturity. Nurturing us into maturity. How? By the Word of God. How do we become powerful? The anthill is not powerful unless you sit on it or play with the ants. I'm a kid one time, and I thought, I can pick up that ant, and if I pick it up and hold his little pinchers, he can't bite me. Guess what? He did, because I was incorrect. Ants typically don't bite you. There's some that do, but not like that. Ants don't bite you. Do you know what they do to cause you pain? They sting you. And do you know where the stinger is? At the other end. So I picked the ant up. And thought, I've got it, and it stung me. And I thought, how in the world is that possible? And I'm angry. So I hold on to the little thing and see a little tiny drop of something right on the tail. And went, ah, that's where it got me. He got it by the wrong end, guys. We have to take it by the right end. We're supposed to be the head. We're supposed to be the leaders and not trailing along. The appearance of Christ is not about a rescue. It's about a reveal. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the glory and the power of God. So where do we get lost? Well, we get lost in misplacing the kingdom in a time instead of in the present. Yes. Jesus said, the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. No one can say over here or over there or that day. He said, you have to identify the kingdom. Just like I am with you right now, I am in the midst of you. The kingdom of God is in the midst of you, because I'm not going to leave you. The kingdom of God is not going to leave you. And then one time Jesus is talking in Matthew 13, and he starts talking about speaking in parables. And the disciples say to him, Lord, why are you talking to them in parables? To them, he said. And Jesus said to them, he said, because they wouldn't hear me no matter how clearly I told them, so I'm going to say it in a parable. And why would he do that? Because a parable inclines you to understand something that isn't forthright. It's kind of like telling a story, and there's that little mystery, that little secret, and you're waiting for the bad guy to be revealed or the good guy to win. And you sit there and you anticipation because you need to see how it turns out. So Jesus gives them a parable. He's baiting the passion of their heart to want to come forward. And we can change times and seasons. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She comes to Jesus. She came to Jesus, touched him, she's healed. Praise God. Another woman comes and wants her daughter healed. And Jesus said, you're not of the household of God. I cannot scripturally, legally do this. I cannot answer you. I have to deal with the house of Israel first. I have to deal with the Jews, the house of God, the chosen. I have to deal with them first. What does she do? She says, okay, I'm going to find a way. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She didn't deny what he said was true. What she did was she found a way. Her faith became a perspective of the present. She said, even the dogs, yes, Lord, I understand, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Number one, humility. Surrender to your lordship. I'll be a dog, because even a dog in your presence is better than a Jew outside. It's better than the house rejecting you, okay? And Jesus healed her daughter. And that's the first thing that happened, right? No. First thing that happened is she got saved. She had to become of the household of God. Her faith. She believed in her heart and confessed with her mouth, and Jesus saved her, so he was able to heal her. You can change the time. When is the right time? Now. Jesus said it like this. Don't say tomorrow. But how many times have we been talking about Jesus appearing tomorrow? Listen, he's going to appear tomorrow and the next day and the next day. His glory and his appearance is going to be so incredible until the earth is just overcome with the kingdom of God. And we behold him as he is, and we will see his glory and his angels, and the kingdom of God will reign and rule just exactly like Jesus said. But he said, this is what you have to do. It is through your faith that the kingdom of God is going to be revealed in the earth. You want me to prove it to you? Okay. Matthew. Jesus is talking and he says, I'm going to go to Luke 13 and verse 18. He said, therefore, what is the kingdom like, and to what shall I compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed it in his garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the heavens lodged in it. So what is the kingdom of God like? Jesus said, how can I get you to understand? He says, the kingdom of God, here we go. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed planted in the earth, and it grew in the earth and became a great tree. That's the kingdom of God. Jesus wants to appear. He said, I want to come quickly. He wants to be revealed in his body so we can see his appearing in his glory. One day, heaven and earth, just like the word of God says, will unite, and Jesus will reign as Lord and King. But this is not a rescue. This is a reveal. We're not in trouble, guys. We are not in trouble. We are the redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. He's Lord here and now. He's Lord. He's Lord. And he's Lord in us. And he said, I'm going to empower you. There's a difference in power. An ant has power in his kingdom. But he's not powerful in yours. You can step on a bunch of them and on their kingdom and their anthill and just destroy it, and you may not even know you did it. Out there plowing the field, and you just plow over a bunch of kingdoms, and these powerful little ants in their own kingdom are devastated and destroyed, and you didn't even know you did it, because your above them. You are exalted. The word says we are far above principalities and powers, just like Jesus, because he seated us there. Don't misinterpret the scripture. When Christ is warning the people about the devil, he's telling them, don't fall back into circumcision. Don't depend upon the old law. Peter had already done it twice. So he tells Peter, you better watch it, because the devil would like to sift you like sand. Where was he? Peter kept going back to the anthill. He told Jesus, far be it from you, Lord. Do you know what he sounded like? The devil. Because you know what the devil was saying? The devil wasn't saying, I want you to go to the cross. The devil knew the scriptures. He was saying, don't go to the cross. Do anything. Heal, deliver, raise the dead. But for all that is, pardon my language, the devil would say, right and holy, don't go to the cross. Because if you go to the cross, I'm done. That's what the devil was saying. That's why when Peter said, don't go, he said, you sound just like the devil. Get behind me, Satan. You savor the things which be of men and not of God. Then Peter denies Jesus. Jesus said, Peter, you need to watch it, dude. He may have called him dude. I don't know. Dude sounds good. It works. It's comprehensive. Jesus used parables to explain. I'm using dude to explain. He just said, don't watch it. But the body, the church goes, you better watch it. Man, the devil is right. That's not at all what he said. Yes. That's not at all what he said. That's not at all what he said. Yes. He said, be sober and be vigilant. Yeah, he was telling Peter, be sober and be vigilant. Paul told him, Peter, you got to knock it off, dude. You're out here talking about circumcision. Then he says to the body, you're falling back into the same thing. And there was a great falling away. Do you know there has already been a great falling away? Yeah. We don't need a rescue. We've been rescued. Yeah, that's right. The blood of Jesus and the power of the cross and the glory of his resurrection. What he's saying now is what he said. How can I get you to understand the kingdom? Let's see. He didn't say the kingdom of heaven is like a palace up in the sky. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a seed sown in the earth, in a man's garden, and it grows. We increase in the knowledge and the revelation of Jesus Christ that just never ends. But that kingdom of God grows, and here people are that professing Jesus as Lord, and yet through religion and tradition that just disarms and disempowers the body of Christ, they're talking about an anthill, like it's this great kingdom of the devil, and like he's coming to just overcome the people of God. He has absolutely no power. He was disempowered, which is why when the disciples came to Jesus and said, we are excited, demon spirits are subject to us at your name, he said, I already saw him fall from power like lightning. Don't rejoice because of that. That's just a result of who you are. That's not anything to brag about. Brag about your name being written in the Lamb's book of life. That's what I want you to talk about. Talk about me. Remember what David said. I set my heart on you. My heart is on your word continually. You're always with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't want for anything. You're either going to get it, or you're an attorney for the devil. You are the devil's defense attorney. And you're just going to keep standing up for him and keep saying scriptures mean something that they do not mean. Jesus, the word teaches us Jesus was ascended far above all principalities. Yeah, but the principalities and the powers, read what it is. Principalities and powers, what is that? Your imagination, your mind, your thought that does the same thing that the original sin did. War against God. How? By trying to become God. There is no sin outside of idolatry. Idolatry is the embryo of all sin. That's why God said, here's the first commandment. Have no other gods before me. Let me break it down real simple. So if you say the devil is trying to stop what God is doing, you're saying he's getting in the way of what God is wanting to do in your life. That is putting him before God. Idolatry, you're going to fall into a problem. He can't get in God's way. No evil will befall you. The wicked one can't touch you. Even Job. God said to the devil, because this is the hand of God, read the book of Job again and you tell me who's in control. It certainly isn't the devil. And he says to the devil, you considered my servant Job? He said, yeah, I considered him. He said, I can't touch him. I can't get near him. Old covenant. The new covenant through the blood of the Lamb. And we're going to get up and talk about how evil and the devil is so powerful and is trying to destroy us. I'll tell you what's destroying you. You've lost the life and the joy of your faith. Use your faith when you're in trouble instead of using it as an expression of your perception. Who do you perceive God to be? Go out and build a business you've never built before. Do something at an older age that you couldn't do at a younger age. Go to school and learn something. Go start studying the Word. Do something. Start a business. Start a church. Start a work. Stop stopping and waiting for something to happen that already happened and start acting on what has already taken place. God will honor you according to your faith, be it unto you. The disciples say, why are you talking in parables? He said, well, because they have ears to hear. It's like the prophet Isaiah said, they'll hear me, but they won't listen to me. They'll look at me and watch me do what I do, but they won't see. They'll close their eyes and they'll close their heart. We need power. We need power. We need power in the church. We need power in the body. We need power, power, power. Everybody say, we need power. We need power. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, As His divine power has given us all things. The oldest text says, by His divine power. 4th century Bible says, by His divine power. His divine power. You may find in some text, by His divine nature, that's fine. By His divine power. He has, past tense, given, deployed to you everything. Everything. Everything that has anything to do with your life and godliness. But your faith is the perception of reality. If it's there, but you're not perceiving it because your mind is on something else, you won't know how real it is. So you'll doubt it. And as soon as a change comes to take that crooked line in your life and make it straight, you'll call it the devil and rebuke the hand of God instead of having the foundation. It couldn't possibly be anybody but God, because my steps are ordered of the Lord. He is Lord of my whole life, not part of it, not at certain times, not in certain places, at all times. He is Lord of my life. And if you get out of line, His Lordship will bring you right back. He'll take the shepherd's staff and He'll whack you on the flank and He'll bring you right back in line, because He loves you. He cares for you. The only time that is required, the only time that is required, the only time that is required is the here and the now. Say it. Say it again. The only time that is required is here and now. So then, where do we get off? Jesus said, he's talking to a bunch of Pharisees, and he said, "How you guys speak evil and you do evil and then you speak good and you're so confused." He said, this can't be. He said, a spring either brings good, sweet water or bitter. It can't be both. Okay? And he says something, and you're going to know this scripture if you've been in church at all. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay. The mouth brings to the forefront what your perception is of your reality. So if it's why those rotten, the earth is so bad, there's so much evil, there you go. You're not worshiping God. You're not mindful of the Lord. The origin of sin is idolatry. Always. When you do something, knowing the Word of God, knowing what God said, and you do something out of order, thinking that your hand will satisfy you more than God's, that your words or your actions will satisfy more than God. You shouldn't be cursing people whether you think they deserve it or not. Because it's not about them. It's about you. If cursing is coming out of you, cursing is in you. Let that settle for a minute. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Then let's piggyback off of Paul here for a minute. He says, listen, he said, don't be double-minded. Don't talk out of both sides of your face. Two-tongued, two-souled. Don't be double-minded. Don't say one thing and then discount it by saying something else. He says, a two-souled individual, let not that person think I will receive anything from God. And he's referencing doctrine. He said, don't be tossed to and fro by every way and every shade of doctrine that comes by. Hey, that sounds good. I like that. The church bought into it with this devil warfare thing and just, they didn't give their power over. They just relinquished it. Just discounted themselves as though God was not really Lord of their lives at all times, as though there was another God that could get in the way of the Lord, and just began to deny and to divide the church between good and evil, Satan and God. The Word says, I will set my affection on you at all times. I will praise you. I will acknowledge you in all my ways. You and you alone are God. But when men and women take the part of God, it's idolatry, and sin is born out of idolatry. Again, that's why God said, have, first commandment, I am the Lord thy God. I am, he said. God said, I am the Lord your God. Have no other gods before me. I'm telling you, this message is going to become so prominent in the body of Christ because the kingdom of God is rising up in the earth today. The church is winning. You may not be aware of it, but I know it by the Word of God. I know it, says the Word of the Lord. The body of Christ is in the winning position. The body of Christ is in authority in the earth. The body of Christ has been made kings and priests to our God and to His Christ, and we are winning. We are in the winning position. We are going to be the first to cross the finish line and to stand up authoritatively, not saying it's done because we crossed the line, but where we stand from here is winners of the line we just crossed. In other words, we stand as winners and champions in the kingdom of God, which abides within us. Because God is omnipresent with us, and it is by our faith that we acknowledge Him as Lord of lords and King of kings. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. This is both true spiritually and physically. What is on the inside of you comes out your mouth. There's a thing called diaphragmatic breathing. Singers know what I'm talking about. And they exercise, learn to control their diaphragm. Diaphragm does not make sound, but it controls the volume of air that is projected from the lungs. Do you know what creates words? Breath. Breath creates words. God breathed His word into man, and man became a living soul. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And then the Word says, and without Him, not anything that was made was made. And He breathed ruach, life. What is life? Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the living Word of God. My daughter said something the other day in her video. She said, don't use your borrowed breath to speak something against God. She said it far better than I did. Don't use your borrowed breath to disagree with God. Borrowed breath. I said, man, I love that borrowed breath. So I'm taking that borrowed breath. And it is the shared breath of God that creates your reality. Out of the abundance of the heart, physiologically, physically, when you speak, psychologically, physically, everything comes together. Everything unites. Everything comes together. It comes together. And when it does, it says, it speaks what is in your heart. It reveals, out of the abundance of the heart, I know who you are. That's what Jesus was saying. Your heart, your mouth will reveal your heart. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So if we're saying Jesus is Lord some of the time, if we're saying He's mostly here, half not here, do you hear what you're saying? Do you hear? Jesus, this is how He talked. The Father is with me always. I do always the things that please the Father. He answers me because I always do what pleases Him. I do nothing except I see what the Father does and I do what the Father does and I say what the Father says. Who should we talk like? The preacher, the prophet, the messenger, or Christ? That's how Jesus talked. He said, all these things you've seen and heard me do, do it. Do it just like this. Do it just like this. But see, in reality, I can teach bad grammar here and I realize it. It's for a purpose. But I can't learn you anything. I can't learn you anything. It's like a baby crawling and walking. Parents say, we taught the baby to walk. No, you didn't. You taught him how to get up again. You can't teach a baby to walk. You can encourage him or her to continue to try. What a baby does is a baby learns how to walk. And you're an example. They see you and they try it, but they're going to fall. And when they fall, what do? You get back up. When the church falls, it blames the devil and crawls away, drags itself away on its belly. When we fall, we should get up and say, I'm more the stronger. Yeah. I'm all the stronger. I'm a seed sown in the ground. You fall, figure God just sowed me in the ground. The kingdom of God is rising up on the inside of me. We don't really learn anybody. The Holy Spirit is the learner. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. Jesus spoke and He said, I can't learn them anything. He said, I'm going to talk, but their hearts are hard and cold and dead, and they won't hear what I'm saying because they reject it, because they're afraid if they hear my word, they will change, and I will heal them, and they don't want it. That's what He said. It's exactly what He said. They had deliberately closed their hearts and their ears. Some people don't want to hear that the devil doesn't have anything to say about their lives because you lose your excuse. Now you have to take responsibility. Now you have to repent. And now you have to believe Christ to be Lord in you and through you. And that sounds like too much work. But see, the fallacy here is it's less work to believe God and have Him working through you than it is you trying to make yourself happy working outside. You don't need an excuse. You need a revelation. We don't need a rescue. Say, we don't need a rescue. What do we need? We need a revelation. We need a reveal. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, He said, you'll reveal me. You'll bear witness to me. What does that mean? You'll show who I am. You'll show who I am. Let's get busy, guys. Number one, we have to get rid of the idols in the church. the Asherah poles, the altars of Balaam, we've got to destroy them. There is no God but God. Only one God, one Lord, and one Christ. Only one. Only one God. Only one God who affects change in your life. Only one God that does wonders in your life. Only one God that leads you. Only one God that keeps you. There's only one power. There is no power except by God. John the Baptist knew it. He said, no one can do anything except God gives them power. Jesus said to Pilate, you couldn't be doing what you're doing unless God had prophesied it through his prophets. You're only doing to me what you think you're doing, but really God is doing this. And it pleased God to bruise him. God did it. No one took his life. Didn't he say that? No one takes my life. No one. No one took his life. He spoke a word and the people failed. Your words are power. When the word comes out of you, when you speak a word, it is not a sound. It is a creation. When you speak a word, it is a literal creation. It is the first time that word has been, what is creation? And God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and the image and likeness of God created he them. And what was the word say? And he formed man. He formed him. Create. When you speak a word, you are creating a perception that will become your reality. If you believe whom the Son has made free is free indeed, that's going to be your reality. Yes. If you believe no weapon formed against me will prosper, that's the word you created. That's the reality you're going to live. You are taking the word of Christ, allowing it to become the word in you, the seed in you. It becomes your perception. That's what God says. Then the nature of man challenges that. People call it the devil. James called it man. From whence come war and fighting and all this trouble? Commit not of your own rejection. Commit not of your own lusts that war within you. That's what the word says. Bringing everything into perspective. Getting this line straight so we can get on with the business of the kingdom of God. So we can see the appearance of Jesus Christ. So we can walk in the glory and the power of God. So we can acknowledge him as Lord of lords and King of kings, the Prince of Peace, the bright and morning star, he which was and is to come, the everlasting one, the eternal Lord, the God of salvation, the God of joy. Our faith should be bringing us joy, and instead you don't know your faith as a joy of faith. You know it as joy, as faith the rescuer. Faith comes to your rescue. Faith came to my rescue, and it does, and it's incredible when it does. But typically, for the most part, most believers know only the rescue of their faith and not the joy of their faith. Rescue, rescue, rescue mentality. Got to be rescued. Got to be saved. Again, get saved. Get born again. Here it is. The words of your mouth form and create your reality. If a man confesses with his mouth, okay, if he believes in his heart, that innermost being, we're going to do some diaphragmatic exercise spiritually. If he believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth, Jesus is Lord to the glory of God, and that God has raised him from the dead, those words will recreate that man, and he will be newly formed. He will become born and created again. How are we recreated? Through Christ, by the word of our mouths. We need to exercise our diaphragm to the glory of God. We need to exercise our breath. We need to use your diaphragm to shape those words correctly. The air that comes out of you should be the breath of God living through you. The air, the oxygen coming into you should be the breath of God, just like it was in the beginning, coming out of you. It should be glorifying God. It should be thinking and praising and worshiping God. It should be delegating the kingdom of God is at hand. It should be saying the Lord is ever present with us. The Lord is good. The Lord is great. The Lord is greatly to be praised. The Lord and only the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't know any difference. I won't be aware or fear any evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I'm going to dine a sumptuous meal. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Only goodness and mercy will pursue me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. That's the kingdom of God. That's the appearance of Jesus' glory in you. That's what is going to change and transform this earth into the glorious kingdom of our God and of his Christ. I had a dream a few weeks ago, and I'm walking out somewhere, and there's hills, and I take a few steps, and the next thing I know, I'm looking at, had to be the Garden of Eden, kingdom of God. I looked at it, and I thought, I have got to get a picture of this. And I take a couple steps, and I'm in a totally different dimension. I look back at the earth, and I'm thinking, how am I going to get back there? And I just thought, it's going to take a while to get from here to there. And God opened up a window to me, and I saw events that were shortly going to unfold. And they did, exactly as I saw. And the Lord said, it's going to be good. It's going to be right. It's going to be all right. And God confirmed in my heart, I'm doing a new thing in my people, in me, in my house, you and your house. Because God, when I say he loves you, he so loves you. So loves you like you couldn't imagine. I know how much I love my daughters. I know how much I love my wife. I would easily lay down my life for any of them. But I can't give them my life. But Jesus did. He laid down his life. And he said, I want you to do the same. I want you to lay down your life for me. And he said, and I'll give you mine. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about my personal view is I am an Emmanuelist. My birth date, first book in the New Testament. I'm born January 23rd. Matthew, first book, 23, says, and a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. 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 1:23, God with us. Emmanuel. I believe it. And that's my reality. So I'm not waiting for any season to take place. I'm living in it right now. Jesus said, don't take thought for tomorrow. And the church has ignored it and keep looking into the future. See, God's mind, God's thoughts are different than our thoughts. His ways are different and higher than ours. But that wasn't God pointing his finger at a distance saying, you stay there and I'll stay over here. Just like the dream, I was right there looking at the kingdom of God going, oh my God, how great you are. And I just have to capture this. We need to capture a picture of the kingdom of God and where it is. And I was right there. God's thoughts, his ideas, are present realities. Without the revelation of who he is, your thoughts are hopes for the coming future, which is not scriptural. The word says, take no thought for the morrow, tomorrow. We're supposed to say, this is the day that God has made. And we will do this and that according to your will. That's the scripture. It's not religion. It's not tradition. But it is the word of God. And that's why we're here. You are leaders. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You are here to lead the way to the kingdom of God. Jesus said, go and preach the kingdom of God. So that's what I do. He said, it is finished, meaning there isn't anything left to do except to believe in what I have done. And that encompasses the entire scripture, the entire word of God. And we're going to tear down idolatry in this generation. I will be the Josiah if necessary. I will tear down the idols of satanic powers that are no powers, of lies and deceptions about darkness and the devil chasing you around every corner. And I'm going to set the people's eyes to look at Jesus and Jesus alone, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. It wouldn't matter what a devil or a demon wanted to do. They have no place in your life. They can't step into your light. They're a shadow. They'd vanish. They have no power. They've been stripped of it. It's like an anthill. There's power there. It's an entire colony. They think, they communicate. They're amazing to watch, and they're powerless against us because we're in a totally different dimension. They're way down there, we're way up here. They're powerful only in their kingdom. Stay out of the anthill. Don't play with them. Don't set in their territory. Stay away. The revelation on the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't roar before he attacks. He only roars in his territory. Stay out of it. Don't believe back in circumcision or works of the flesh, or that you have to overcome sin or the devil. He overcame it for you. Walk in him. As he is, so are we in this world. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's time to be probotorn. Lamb, strong. Feed my sheep. So let's feed the nations. If we love him, let's tell the truth. You don't have to be able to explain everything that goes on in your life. You just need a foundation to stand on. And my foundation is God is with me. All things work together for good because I love him and I am the called according to his purpose. He will lead me in the way that I will go. He will never leave me or forsake me. Little leaven leavens the whole lump. And it's used in two different ways in the scriptures. Number one, a little leaven, like the leaven of the Pharisees, kind of like the 12 spies that went out to spy the land. Out of 12, two came back with a crooked report. Had their report become the perception of all the people, they never would have went in to the promised land. Because they said, not today. Not today. That was their problem. Not today. Too many, too big, not today. But Caleb said, today. Today. We can do right now because I remember the word of the prophet. I remember the word of the Lord. We are more than able today. And he stilled the disruption of the people, he stilled them, the word says, and he spoke and said, we are more than able. God will certainly do as God has said. That little veer of perception, the devil this, the devil, you end up way off, you'll never inherit the promised land. But a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Jesus said it. Two different forms. A little bit of leaven, a little bit of crooked, can leaven the whole lump. If it's not supposed to be leaven, if it's supposed to be unleavened bread, you just messed it up, okay? On the other hand, you are the leaven. And Jesus said again, what shall I liken the kingdom of God unto? A woman with three measures of flour, and she took a little leaven and put it in three measures of flour, and it made bread out of the whole lump. You're the leaven. It's time to make bread. It's time to express the bread of life. It's time to eat at the table of the Lord. It's time to dine in the presence of God, anointed with oil, your cup running over, and only goodness and mercy. If you let those words be the only words of your mouth, that's all you'll see. You will live the reality of your perception of faith. Enjoy your faith. Do something that faith demands you to do. Not something you have to do. Not something you're being made to do. Not just because you're in trouble. Faith works in all those times, and it's incredible. But use your faith so you can experience the joy of it and see the kingdom of God manifest in you. Today is that day. Be the leaven. Sow the seed. Let's see the kingdom of God grow up in us, just like Jesus said the kingdom was. Let's let the kingdom be. This is that day. The kingdom of God is within your reach, within your grasp. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Give God praise this morning. Stand with me. We're going to pull on heaven today. If you have your wristband, you should tug on it today. If you don't, just get one. Those that are viewing, if you don't have one, we'll send you one. Just, you can put it on your wrist. It's just a elastic wristband. It says pulling on heaven. The other side says 24/7. Wear it. Show it. Don't be ashamed of it. Put it on. Show it proudly. I wear this all over the place. Hopefully someone asks me, what is that about? What does that mean? And I get to tell them, well, here we go. It's our way of calling on God. It's our way of praying. It's our way of believing. The kingdom of God. We have the power to reach out and touch heaven. We have the power to release from the earth what is in heaven again. We have the power to bind on the earth, and heaven will back us. He's given us power. Anything we ask, he said, he would do. But we can't be double-minded. We have to declare Jesus is Lord over everything. Where is he? When is he? Here and now. What time do I need? I need time. You need this time. This is the only time you need, right here and now. Let your faith be the perception of your reality, and let God's thoughts and mind be your perception. So your reality is as he is, so are we in this world. And then we can love a lot better too. We pull upon the heavens of God today. That's what we're doing. Hear, O heavens. Give ear, O earth. Come on, let's pull on heaven. God, we pull on your heavens. God, create through us. Create through this body. Create great and wondrous things. Create knowledge and wisdom and revelation and insight and understanding. The only reason the seed in the parable you told was taken by the wicked one, you said the only reason was because they would not understand the word of the kingdom. They refused it. We receive the word of the kingdom today. We embrace the word of the kingdom. You are free today, people. You are a messenger of the Lord. You are led by the lordship of Jesus Christ. You are the government of the nations. You are the kings of the nations. You are the priests of the nations. You are the royalty of the nations. You are the voice of business. You're the voice of truth. You're the voice of the church. You're the voice of heaven. The voice of God speaks through you. And the Spirit will speak through you, the Word says. He'll tell you what to say. He'll bring the Word. You don't even have to think about it. The Holy Spirit will reveal through you what the Father wants you to speak. And your words will create your reality. Use your borrowed breath to create the reality of God's will. Use your shared breath with God to create your reality according to His word. We create it right now, O God. Every principality we bring down right now. Every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, we bring it into captivity. We are going to lead the captives that are bound by tradition and legalism and unsaved to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Seek first the kingdom of God. We seek it right now. And His righteousness. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. And everything in addition will be added to you. Our faith isn't to try to get things. It's to see the kingdom of God clearly. To walk in the knowledge and the revelation of who Christ in us is, that we bear witness. We pull upon the heavens of God today for that. We overcome the evil and the darkness by the word of the living God that is a testimony in us, by simply shining as a light and declaring the truth. We pull upon the heavens of God today and say, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord God has spoken." I call you all blessed of the Lord today, free from anyone that tries to tear down, free from your imagination that wars against you. Free in the knowledge of Jesus. People want to give you things. They want to bless you with things. They want to help you. They don't want to fight against you. They will lose their strength and will fall weak to their knees, gathering up their broken words. And while they're on their knees, the Lord will repent their heart. There is a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the earth right now. There is a great outpouring of the Spirit. Your sons and daughters are prophesying. They're declaring the wonders of God. The Lord is gathering people from the east and the west and the north and the south, and they're coming together in unity with the will of the Father. The church is winning. The church is leading. The church prevailed in Jesus Christ. Father, for it we give you praise. All glory and all honor do your name. In Jesus' name, in the name of Yeshua, we pray. Jesus, Yeshua, Jesus, Yeshua, Jesus, Yeshua, Jesus, Yeshua, Jesus, Yeshua, Jesus, Yeshua, Yeshua, Jesus, Yeshua, Jesus, Yeshua, Jesus, Yeshua, Jesus, Yeshua, Jesus, Yeshua, Elohim, Jesus, Yeshua, El Shaddai, Jesus, Yeshua, Jesus, Yeshua, Yeshua is with us, God is with us, Jesus is with us, the Spirit is with us, Jesus, Yeshua, Elohim, El Shaddai, mighty God, the Lord ever-present, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, Yeshua, we praise you, Lord. In the day of Jesus, they would say, Lord, or Yeshua. Through the decades and the time, from Aramaic, Hebrew, Greek, Latin, English. We declare him Jesus, the one and only Lord. And from beginning to present, it never ends. Yeshua is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Emmanuel, God is with us. It's never changed. El Shaddai, great and mighty God, we worship you. Something's happening in the atmosphere right now. Something wonderful. Your body's healed. Your mind's changed. Your spirit's lifted. You're being born again. Confess with your mouth, Jesus, you are Lord to the glory of God. And I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. You died for my sins. You rose from the dead, defeating death, hell, and the grave. I am free in you to live in the power of God's will. I have eternal life. And I say, Jesus, Yeshua, Jesus, Yeshua, Jesus, Yeshua. Jesus,
Yeshua.
Jesus, Yeshua. Jesus, Yeshua. Jesus,
Yeshua.
You are Lord. Lord, to the glory of God. You reign in all the earth. You make what was dead alive. You give purpose to existence. Faith is a perception. Seeking a host to express its reality. So it is in this day. In Jesus' name, by the word of the Lord. Faith, find your expression in the host, the body of your people. And give the expression of the Father's will in the earth. So it is happening today. The church has risen from the dead. God is exalting it in power. The ecclesia is rising up in authority. The called out, the chosen, the redeemed of God. Blessed be the name of Yeshua. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glorify God. Glorify God. Jesus. Bless his name. Glorify your God. Lift up your voice, all you nations. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Glorify him. He is Lord. He has exalted us above the earth. We preside in the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. He has raised us up together with him, seated us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in the here and the now. Ever Lord, ever present, ever God, ever power, omnipotent, omniscient, almighty, everlasting, eternal one, light of the world, breath of life, eternity, glory, holiness, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, Jesus. Praise you. We worship you, my God. Glory be to your name, Most High God. One and only God, Lord and Creator, true eternal Father, everlasting one, Prince of Peace, bright and morning star, the risen Lord, the revealed Christ, the appearing Savior, the Holy One of heaven, who makes your dwelling place among your creation, to speak through your people today. There is a great uprising. It will not end. We are living in the coming age, in the power of our God and of his Christ. This is the Lord's hour. This is the Lord's hour. This is the season of our God. Jesus, we praise you. Glory to your name. Great is the Lord. Great is God to be praised. Can you feel that? Can you sense that? I feel a rain of God coming down all around and coming up at the same time. Jesus. Jesus. Yeshua. 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 The Lord is healing you today, right now, this moment. He's healing your heart. He's healing your mind. He's healing your perception. He's setting in order the cornerstone that He is. How do you seek the kingdom? See Him, hungry to hear from Him, hungry to know Him, hungry to do His will, hungry to taste and see how good the Lord is. Here, today, the first, we seek Him. We seek Him. Find Him. We praise You, God. In Jesus' name. Everybody shout it. Come on. Shout to your God.